Well, I don't favor talking to vermin, but I'll talk to you just this once.
Exchange-traded funds are the investment world's new frontier.
You better listen.
But with so many choices and styles, the ETF world is a bit like the Wild Wild West, filled with new issues and ideas, but fraught with the same old dangers of investing.
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Every Thursday, Tom Lydon of ETF Trends comes to Money Life to tell us about one ETF that is wearing the white hat right now.
Take it easy. We are the good guys.
He'll point out the good, the bad, and the ugly as he tells you which investment is worth taking a shot on.
That's good shooting.
And names his ETF of the week.
Now, Wild West.
That's right. Tom Lydon joins us right now. It's ETF of the week time. And of course, Tom is editor at ETF Trends. He is founder of the site. And it's not just, hey, here's my picks. You should follow it. ETF Trends really covers the ETF business from soup to nuts. They talk about the new funds, the established funds, what's changing, what's happening, what's good, what's bad, and they give you some of the information on the trends that are out there that you might want to follow. To find out more about it, ETFTrends.com on Twitter, at ETF Trends. Tom is on Twitter. He's at Tom Lydon. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. How are you?
I'm well. Our ETF of the week is
the Pro Sports Sponsors ETF, ticker symbol FANZ.
The Pro Sports Sponsors ETF, ticker symbol FANZ. I can't tell about this one because on the one hand,
play ball.
Yeah, you might think you want to play ball with it. And on the other hand, I see something like this and think,
strike three, you're out.
You know, Tom, I just wrote a piece about the Quincy Jones Fund, right? The fund that Quincy Jones, the producer, is not actually doing anything other than lending his name to the index that is picking entertainment companies. And I said, you could see somebody doing a LeBron James fund or a Derek Jeter fund. Well, this is kind of that, isn't it? So why are you liking this? Or
yeah,
are you liking
it? It's close, Chuck, but it's a little bit more pure, let's say. So look at it this way. This is not necessarily putting your investments in the sports team themselves, but what you're doing is you're backing companies that use a lot of their marketing dollars and advertising dollars in affiliation with sports. The idea behind it is if you're a company that's supporting professional sports, let's say, it tends to be that you're going after consumers with discretionary income. So there's something to that. What these folks have done is they've gone back and they've built an index of companies that invest a lot of their advertising and marketing dollars in the sports arena. And they've done this over a period of time. And at the same time, these companies have been somewhat successful. So say, for example, a company like Kia, that's grown over the years by being an official partner with the NBA. Well, that's worked out pretty well. If at one point in time, Kia backs out and is no longer supporting the NBA, well, Kia is no longer a part of that business or part of that index. Now, it might be that they just decided to spend the marketing dollars elsewhere. It also might mean that Kia is actually having some troubles of its own. So their feeling is in creating this index, with companies in all types of sectors that support sports, that there's something behind that, that there's something of money well spent, of brand recognition, of getting consumers to actually buy their products by that affiliation.
Yes, but the top holdings of this fund don't include anything that you would first identify as a sports-oriented anything. It's not even Nike or Under Armour, let alone any of the franchises. And for years, when my brother was alive, I was making him a mogul by making sure he owned every pro sports team, had a share of this or that. This is not any of that. I mean, we used to have the stock car stock index, which failed and it crashed and burned, perhaps because it wasn't the Dale Earnhardt stock car stock index fund. But it considered Procter & Gamble to be a stock car stock because they had the Tide car. But that's a bit of a stretch. And here you've got companies, as you pointed out, Kia or McDonald's or TD Ameritrade. Is it a bit of a stretch to say, well, I'll consider TD Ameritrade to be a sports sponsor company?
Just to be clear, this is not, for example, the Boston Celtics are publicly traded. It's not investing in sports companies. It's investing in companies that utilize sports for their marketing, for their branding. Okay, so McDonald's and TD Ameritrade, as you say, use a big chunk of their marketing and advertising dollars in affiliation with professional sports. The idea here is if you're putting a lot of money behind professional sports and the branding that goes along with that, the affiliation that goes along with that, and the fact that you get in front of people who have discretionary income, then that in some cases is successful for you and has proven to be successful as you go back and back test this index and the companies that are part of it.
This fund has only a couple of million dollars in it. It is very new. How long are you going to wait before you say, hey, it's got both assets and maybe a little proof behind this concept?
Exactly. I mean, here we are getting into the dog days of summer. A lot of people are watching baseball. I thought it'd be a great time to talk about creativity and ETFs. A lot of people are thinking about sports. This is a brand new ETF. It's only got $2 million in it. However, the underlying securities, Chuck, are very, very liquid. This is something that's probably going to get some traction, and it's going to probably do well over time as far as garnering assets. But the key is, yes, you have to understand how small ETFs trade. And if the bid and the ask spread is too big, you want to stay away from it. Here's definitely a case, as always, when you're buying an ETF, and if this is of interest to you, make sure you put a limit order in, because it may, because of the spreads, be fairly tight, and all the savings that you're getting from owning an ETF and having a low expense ratio could be thrown out the window if you're buying something with a big spread.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that what the sports fan and investor is hoping for is... Yeah, I know they're hoping for a home run. I just keep looking at the underlying stuff on this one and think,
what a dumb thing to do.
So be careful, everybody, because although Tom is talking about it, we didn't talk 200-day moving average. It doesn't exist. We did talk limited assets and how that's going to potentially create some issues that you have to watch out for. But if you like the concept and you think, yeah, sponsorship talks about a healthy business that maybe is doing well. It's the Pro Sports Sponsors ETF, ticker symbol FANZ, the ETF of the week from Tom Lydon. Tom, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Chuck.
Tom Lydon, everybody. He is the editor at ETFtrends.com. Check out the site and follow them on Twitter at ETFtrends. While you're doing it, click on Tom as well. He's at Tom Lydon.